affluent electors. And I'm curious to know, what would you have done, what could you have done, if you were the U.S. attorney at the time?
Sure. There is a federal statute. I know all your listeners, I know you two understand this completely. Together things, electoral votes, you put do other things in balloting, and you fraudulently represent something that's not true. You send them in, you make representations that this is in fact real when in fact it's not. That's a felony. And the federal crime is very clear. In this case, this is not just a frivolous matter. You know, it happens all the time that people send in things. You get them, both of you in your own businesses, you get letters from people that perhaps are on the margins. This is not that. These are people who sat down and figured out how to make this look real, right? The state of Wisconsin, the seal, who's got to sign off on that, what the language has got to look like.
So the actual creation of the fraudulent document, the actual misrepresentation of them being the electors and all those, that in and of itself, in your mind, is a crime, is a felony.
It is, absolutely. Again, you're not just sending a letter to your congressman or congresswoman saying, hey, we should have gone differently. You're doing something. You're purporting to be an actual elector, and you're signing off on this. I think that the content of those documents from, what is it, the 7 or 8 different states, that's meaningful too.
right?
They're
all the same or very similar.
They're very similar. They know what they've got to look like.
Implies a conspiracy across state lines.
Implies a conspiracy because you're all doing it, slightly variations, but we know, for example, we've got that video in Michigan of those electors attempting to get into the state house at the time. We know here in Wisconsin that they had a room in the Capitol at the same time that the real electors were getting together, all those kinds of things. It's great evidence to suggest that you're purporting to be something that you're not. And what are you trying to do? Again, this is not just sending a letter somewhere and saying, hey, I'm not with you on this politically or governmentally. I'm trying to misrepresent. I'm trying to undermine the proper counting of electoral votes in January to accomplish a different result. That's fraud. That's exactly what the federal statute says.
So who would go out then, Jim? If you're in charge, who goes out and you arrest them? Do you ask them to come in nicely? How do you go through that process?
Sure. You first of all, you begin. The FBI agent sits down and says, "We'd like to have a conversation with you." Plainly, it's not. There's no immunity here. We're not giving you any special privileges. You certainly can invoke the Fifth Amendment, which would tend to suggest that there's something about your testimony that would tend to implicate you. But then again, you look at other people. Maybe there's some of those other electors who signed along with you who also recognize that they're in trouble. Maybe they flip, so to speak, a common word that we talk about, and they say, yeah, before we got together, we also had this conversation down the street at the Wendy's, at the McDonald's. We chatted about how this is going to play out. They give you some of that interstitial information about how this happened, and between the documents, between the testimony, you put together a case that establishes intent to violate the law. And then you put together, it's a criminal complaint, you go to a grand jury and say, do we have probable cause to believe that these people intended to send off documents that are fraudulent, intended to disrupt the process, intended to send a message about the electoral votes in the state of Wisconsin and other places that is plainly fraudulent.
Can I insert just one quick thought? Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Andrew Hitt, the former head of the Republican Party, state of Wisconsin, signed that along with some other folks. And I heard you speak earlier, and maybe this translates a little bit to this, about the current U.S. Attorney General saying, we're not going to be political in our prosecutions, but we're also not going to not prosecute because they are of a political persuasion, which I think is good. Jim, if it were you prosecuting this case here in the state of Wisconsin, would there be any outside pressure on you to do one thing or the other? Is this your call by yourself?
This has got to be the call, independent of political pressure, independent of op-eds in the media, things that we may say on the air. This has got to be looking at exactly what you chatted about a minute or so ago. What does the evidence show? You're presenting this to a grand jury, and ultimately, you've got to establish to a petit jury, a trial jury, beyond a reasonable doubt. You got to commit to convince 12 people unanimously that this crime has been committed. And yes, will there be focus on this? Yes, of course. Will there be the allegations that you're doing it because of political purposes? As I said before, it is as corrupt.
No matter what you do, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, right. The fact that they used U.S. mail, does that add to it?
it does a little bit. Again, you're using that. That's the male fraud statute. That's right. In Title 18. You can add that on as an additional count.
Is there a female fraud statute?
Right, M-A-I-L, right? And the answer is yes. Again, so there are multiple ways in which you could charge this case. In the end, you want to be able to present it. And to my mind, I think you could. It is not that, unlike what we were talking about before, which is this huge January 6th conspiracy beginning months before January 6th, perhaps continuing to this day. This is a little bit more discreet, probably planned weeks in advance, and certainly, as you say, conversation. But you're talking about a specific event, the things that happened before and the things that happened in the moment. And what was your purpose in signing that document? What was your purpose in getting together with these people and sending it off to the National Archives, sending it off to the Congress so that Mike Pence could open these envelopes and say, gosh, here are the electors from the state of Wisconsin, and in fact, it's not true.
I can hear the gosh in Pence's words.
All right, so if you were doing this, if you were the U.S. attorney or, from Wisconsin here, would the public know about it?
The answer is, under Department of Justice policy, the answer is no, you shouldn't know about it.
Would you tell Dom McCrew?
Right. However, as I said before, with respect to January 6th, there are two, at least one large exception. If, in fact, there is a compelling public interest in the matter, and this may fall in that category, just to convince the American public, your local constituents, that, in fact, you're doing your job. Under appropriate circumstances, there's nothing wrong with a prosecutor coming forward and saying, listen, as Lisa Monaco did, we've got these things, we're looking at them. Beyond that, shouldn't be a whole lot more until the indictment itself drops from the grand jury.
So then you are recommending prosecution of these 10 folks from Wisconsin?
I'll track down the exact number of Title 52 and in the Title 18 as well, and the answer is yes.
Maybe get some of your former coworkers on the ball.
If convicted... What sort of a sentence would you seek?
You know, under the sentencing guideline, I mean, these are five-year penalties, I believe, and the sentencing guidelines probably for people who don't have a big criminal history, but in terms of impact, those kinds of things are factored in the sentencing guidelines. We're talking about some serious, perhaps several years in prison, of the same kind that we're seeing right now with some of the top-level January 6th on-the-ground insurrectionists.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, the finest of guests. You guys didn't need me this segment, but Jim, appreciate you sticking around.
It's always a pleasure. Great to be with both of you once again, and best wishes here in Waukesha.
Glad to have you in the Shaw on 540 AM WAUK. We're walking the walk today. We got Dominic. We got James Santel. We'll say goodbye to Jim. We'll welcome Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn. Come back. More Devils.
This is not normal.
I don't see any reason why it would be.
It's America.
President Trump lost.